has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the go away in May version of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm seeing the same trend here this morning that I've seen for quite some time, since February, actually, where it's value stocks leading the way and former leaders dead in the water and tech not looking all that great here today. It's early on in the day. I haven't had a chance to look at a lot of stocks, but it looks like commodities, the auto sector, the building sector, that's kind of been where it's been here in 2021 since February. Well, this is Bill Gunderson. I hope you're all rested up because we've got a lot of work to do here this week. Earnings season is winding down a bit, but there's still some work to do there. The Dow up 262 right now, 34,137. The NASDAQ up just 29. So, you know, that's pretty indicative. The Dow definitely is more of a proxy for the value side of the equation than the NASDAQ. And the NASDAQ is obviously a proxy for the growth side of the equation. So you can see the Dow trouncing the NASDAQ once again today. We've got the S&P 500. How's it doing today? It is up 22 points, 4,200, running into that resistance level there. And the small caps are up about a half of a percent right now. They're doing okay, but it's mostly, again, in those few sectors that are working. There's about four of them this year. Crude oil's up 63 cents, 64.21. The oil stocks have looked pretty good here recently. I've got a couple on my very close watch list for the week. The 10-year, 1.62. About 10 basis points higher than we were last week, and Bitcoin up 800 to 57,728. So welcome to the Best Stocks Show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know what? I don't think I've led you wrong here in the market. I know it's hard to accept. You know, it was so fun playing those high flyers and those momentum names and anything that made an electric vehicle, whether they had ever made a car or not, and anybody that made charging stations, whether they'd ever charged a car or not, and technology companies that had really not proven their technologies yet, that was all the rage in 2020 as we, you know, the pandemic year. I think I gave you some pretty good advice in March of 2020, towards the end of March, when I said it's time to go all in. I'm seeing a bottom in the market. I called it the Boeing bottom when Boeing hit 100. And I can tell you that it was not a popular call on the market. You know, I was the true contrarian, kind of the lone wolf crying in the wilderness at that point in time, but I was dead on with that. And now here we are over 1 year later, and of course that 12 months after March of last year was just sizzling. It was just sensational, and we took advantage of it as much as we possibly could. And then, you know, whether you like it or not, or whether you realize it or not, we had a seismic change here in the United States of America. We went from kind of one extreme to another extreme, and that has its consequences on a lot of major industries, a lot of major sectors. It has its consequences on monetary policy. It has its even though the Fed says they're independent, there's a lot of pressure on the Fed to do what the federal branch wants to do. You've also got you know, changes in legislation, changes in fiscal policy. It all is impacted. And, you know, that made the market really take off in the green energy stocks there in January. and other areas that look like, you know, infrastructure, other areas that look like would really benefit. We've seen a kind of a seismic change in the inflation picture, where inflation's really been absent from the equation for quite some time. Now, I don't know if this is just a temporary sugar high, pardon the pun, because sugar is making a new high, but you do have demand coming back awfully quick, and supply is behind the curve. But I do see other things out there that are inflationary in nature. So, when, you know, a major change, I would call that a macro change. And in my newsletter, at the beginning of each portfolio where I describe the portfolio, you know, one of the reasons for selling is if there's a macro, if there's a big change in the macro outlook, whether it's in a sector, whether it's in the overall economy, whether it's in the market, or whether it's in a stock. Now, the Bogleheads, the John Bogleites that, you know, are Vanguard, low fee, stay fully invested over time, would disagree with me. They would say, you know what, that's all factored into the market. And over time, the market all balances out and it ticks away at, 9, 10, 11% per year. Yeah, okay, I know, I understand. But what about the guy who retired in the year 2000 and the NASDAQ went down, 79%. That guy doesn't have. It took 16, 17 years for the NASDAQ to get back to where it was. So I can't agree with the Bogleites, the Bogleheads, the Vanguard low-fee people, that you should stay fully invested all the time. Okay, well, then there's the second crowd that says, well, you know, okay, maybe you shouldn't be fully invested in stocks all the time. That's where you diversify so far and wide across the universe, right? The old Beatles song, where you've got bonds and you've got cash and you've got precious metals and you've got stocks, and it's all dependent upon your age. And you're never going to really have a really good year, but you're never going to have really a bad year. It's kind of like an annuity type of performance. You know, you've kind of limited your downside, but you've also limited your upside. And I have a problem with that, because there's times that I don't want to own any stocks. When we start to enter into an earnings recession here in the U.S., and I don't see that happening tomorrow or next week or next month, but it's not a matter of if we will at some point in time, it's when. And that's why I have to be actively managing my portfolios. I do my newsletter every week that takes me down every nook and cranny of the market so that I can see which way the wind blows. It does take a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You got to look at all kinds of things, yield curves, inflation measures, currencies. But the number one factor in the market is earnings. As long as earnings are going up, you can pretty much rest assured that stocks are the place to be. Bonds, on the other hand, are impacted by interest rates. And interest rates are very important to follow. And you know that that direction recently has been upwards by quite a bit in interest rates. So it's not a very good environment at all for bond funds right now. So, well, they would say, well, it's offset by your stocks. And your stocks are doing well while your bonds are doing bad. Well, why not try to have both oars in the water all the time, you know? So anyways, that's the way I look at the market. And, you know, you've heard me say many times that, you know, this is not a cheap market. It's priced beyond perfection. And we do have some pending changes in fiscal policy, which will have some ramifications on the market. But at the same time, it's gone from a growth side of the equation to a value side. We haven't seen a value market in a long, long time. Value stocks come from the banking sector, the financial sector, the building sector, industrials, commodities. Really exciting stuff. The auto sector, this is where your low PE, low price to sales stocks are. And I know they're not as fun and they're not get rich quickly like you did with the Bitcoin miners last year, but it is what it is. And you have to make the best of the conditions, the current conditions in the market. And you just have to ride a different wave this year on a little different surfboard. Not as flashy one, maybe one of those big 10-footers, you know, like we used back in the 60s. But, you know, when we come back, I will continue to talk about this theme in the market, name some names, see what others are saying about the market. Not everybody agrees with me. And, of course, the big question on everybody's mind on this May 3rd, should we sell in May and go away? Well, I got a show to do. I'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Sell in May and go away. That investment strategy suggests that equities tend to underperform in the 6 months through October. So investors should convert to cash at the start of May and then buy into a dip later in the fall. Well, I would just say this about that. In my 24 years in the business, every year is different. I wish there was an easy formula like that. You know what I would do? If that held true every year, I would say, you know what, guys, you can take my show off the air till August, September. I'm going fishing every day. But the market's different every single year. And I don't think you can look at this last 10-year period of time. Others make the argument that, well, it's been better to stay fully invested over the last 10 years. Well, of course it has. We haven't had a bear market in the last 10 years. We got to go back to 2008, 2009, okay? How about if we go back to the year 2000? We've had a couple of horrible bear markets. So I don't think there's any one rule like sell in May and go away. That you can follow with any kind of, yes, over the long haul, the Farmer's Almanac or the Stock Almanac says this adage has worked over the long haul. But you know what? We're in the short haul here, most of us, right? Others like billionaire investor Leon Cooperman have an eye on the exit. I always have my eye on the exit, always, and in the rearview mirror, because I've been through a couple of terrible bear markets. He is a self-described, fully invested bear. He's worried about market valuations. I am too. And thinks we should recognize we're pulling demand forward and the longer-term outlook is not particularly favorable. In other words, we're pricing growth into the market several years down the road. We're pricing that into today's market. I would totally agree with that. Leon Cooperman also expects an upcoming rise in taxes and inflation. I'm on board there, which may force the central bank to signal action before the end of 2020. So how did he handle a market like this? It's easy. In my opinion, it's one sector at a time. It's one stock at a time. It's one day at a time. And keep your eyes in the rearview mirror. It's no different than it was 4 or 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 1 year ago. 30% of the U.S. population is now fully vaccinated. Does that help? There's a new GameStop in town. Did you know that? The boys and girls at Wall Street Bets are now on to BTX. Let's look up this thing. I'll bet it's got tremendous fundamentals. Oh, yeah. Oh, terrific fundamentals. It's a biotech called Brooklyn Immunotherapy. It develops cytokine-based therapy for treating patients with cancer. Now, what are the odds of somebody coming up with that cure for cancer and immunologic diseases? This stock was a $1 stock when it began the year, or late last year. Today, it's $65 per share. Why? Well, it looks like hype. One of the best performing stocks in April was Brooklyn Immunotherapeutics, BTX. It only began trading in late March. I'm guessing it was on the pink sheets before that. Shares have risen more than 1,200% in the last month. Brooklyn was formed through a reverse merger with the Trivia Apps Company. Oh, NTM Buzz Time. Okay, now I get it. Yeah, I know all about it. That was the San Diego company. They did a reverse merger, and now they don't provide games at bars. They're going to cure cancer. Well, check the chart. It's one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. I thought all the speculation was coming out of the market. Apparently not. Okay, I did see an interview this morning on one of the financial channels. The U.S., the Digital Currency Foundation, they call it, is exploring a U.S. government digital currency. Well, I think you can bank on it. I really do. I think the U.S., at some point in time, will go. There's more control over a digital currency. There's not all those loose ends out there. You know, you go to the restaurant, and we only take cash. We don't take any. Well, yeah, that's harder to trace cash. So I see it coming myself. And I don't know how that bodes for the private digital currencies. It would seem to me like the U.S. government would not want any competition. After all, they don't want counterfeit dollars floating around out there, do they? I think they would want to control that digital currency. But we'll see. I mean, I've been saying that I think it's a matter of time before this happens. Well, this was the first shot across the bow this morning where there's actually an official organization, the Digital Currency Foundation, looking into it. Chicago PMI rises to the strongest in nearly 40 years. Okay, the reason I bring that up, this is the highest PMI, Purchasing Managers Index numbers, since December 1983. You know that inflation back then was double-digit inflation? Do you still remember Gerald Ford wearing his whip inflation now? Inflation was a monster. It was an absolute monster. Well, I mean, just looking at this recent report, the Chicago PMI, maybe that's a one-off, but it comes in at 72.1. I've never seen a number that high. And, of course, you've got all of this demand coming back all of a sudden. I'm sure that has something to do with it. Factory gate prices rose 11.1% to a 41-year high. That would be 1981 and the days of double-digit inflation. Well, the Fed says there's no inflation. Okay. I wrote all about that in my newsletter over the weekend. Did you get it? Did you read it? Lots of little nuggets in there. My observations, my experience, what I'm viewing in this market right now. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. I give everybody 2 free weeks of the full Monty newsletter, and then I continue to send out a little bit stripped down version of it, but still full of information. Rein in Wall Street bonuses. Wall Street may face new regulation on bonuses under Dodd-Frank. Now, this is one of the parts of Dodd-Frank that has never been implemented, but Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a longtime critic of excessive bonuses, says in a statement to Bloomberg News that such restrictions are critical to reining in the reckless Wall Street culture that encourages executives to juice their pay with risky short-term gains. Speaking of bonuses, Elon Musk is now vested in Tesla stock options valued at $32 billion after the company hit roughly half of the targets laid out by the board in his landmark 2018 compensation package. So he's in line for. But now he's not on Wall Street exactly. He's on more of the assembly line. Should we rein in Elon's stock options and the bonus? It translates into billions and billions of dollars. Okay, when we come back, Warren Buffett has finally found his successor. And no, it's not Charlie Munger. We'll talk about a lot of stocks in the second half of the show. This is Bill Gunderson.
And thank you, Thunderclap.
And Thunderclap Newman. It just seems like such a anthem of the ages, you know. There's something in the air. Can you feel it coming? Well, you know what? I've been on the air for the last 24. That's what's on the air. That's what's in the air. It's the Bill Gunderson Best Stocks Now show. Been trying to bring you my observations. As a guy who's out on the water every day, there's a guy in Charleston. He has a Facebook page. He is the number one fishing guide in Charleston. Whether it's offshore, you know, for the wahoo or the mahi, the big grouper, the big snappers, the king mackerel, or whether it's inshore for the sheep's head and the flounders and the trout and the redfish, of course. He's the man. He's out there every day. He launches his boat every day and takes people fishing with him most every day. I mean, he probably doesn't go out in a hurricane. Yeah, but other than that, he's out there. You know, and I read his report every day. I mean, why wouldn't I? If I want to go out and catch fish, where am I going to go tomorrow if somebody said, hey, Bill, take the day off and go fishing? Well, you know what? He's out there every day. He has such an advantage over me, a weekend warrior at best. You know, I went out just for fun, exploratory trip about 4 weeks ago. I took my little boat out to the reef, which is about 14 miles out from the harbor. And so it was a 70-mile round trip from my house. The good news is I found the reef. There were about 25, 30 boats out there. I said, oh, boy, I found the sector that the stocks are working in. This is it. I said, it's time to get a bait in the water. I had left my fishing poles at home. Oh, I was sick. I remembered my sandwich, but the fishing poles, oh, I didn't have one fishing pole. I looked so sheepish turning around and heading for home. But I had a really nice ride in the boat, running good. I saw dolphins and porpoise laughing at me, of course. That's just the way it goes. But I'm on the waters of the stock market, rain or shine, every single day. And believe me, there's a lot of rain and there's a lot of shine. You learn to kind of roll with the punches after a while. J.P. Morgan says to buy in May and go away. They want you to just buy and forget about it. They think it's going to be a wonderful summertime. They see a continued rally in commodities and a resurgence of treasury yields higher. They think that's good news for value and cyclical stocks. There you go. That's what. Now, in my early walk through the market, I've looked at a few spots here. You know what? It's the same exact pattern once again today. It's the financial sector. It's the building sector. You can look at Beazer Homes, BZH. It's the shipping stocks. You can look at DAC. It's the auto sector. And I'm not talking the EV sector. I'm talking the guys that sell auto parts or make the parts for the EVs. And it's the commodity sector. Again, you can look at AA. And then I would say the only other one, some of these low-end retailers, which I think are on the receiving end of stimulus money, Bassett Furniture, Haverty Furniture, At Home, ones like that, the one that Aaron's Rents, et cetera, that's what's working in the market right now. Okay, what else do we got going on? What don't we have going on? Copper continues to roar to 10-year highs. White House imposes travel restrictions on India. That's a big move, restricting travel from India in light of the surge and variant. See, there's the issue. That variant somehow has gotten into Israel and even vaccinated people. I reported that on Friday. That's a disturbing picture, disturbing story. Have you ever heard of flippening? Well, people come up to me all the time. Hey, Bill, what's happening? If I said, what's flippening, I wouldn't know until today. I found out what flippening is. Bitcoin is regaining some ground lost to Ethereum. Flippening has reentered the cryptocurrency conversation over the past few days. That term refers to the belief that Ether's market cap might soon top that of Bitcoin. Wow. The chatter came alongside a big rally in Ether. I guess it's not Ethereum, it's Ether. Boy, I thought Ether was that stuff like, you know, you smelled a little Ether and you woke up big time. Anyways, big rally in Ether took the Ether-Bitcoin ratio to a three-year high. Did you know that? But not so fast, say Bitcoin fans, driving the price of Bitcoin up nearly 5% today, back up above 56,000. The very top of the crypto's recent range. Ether, on the other hand, is down modestly, $2,750, but still within a handful of dollars of its record high hit yesterday. Ethereum tops $3,000 for the first time as the rally continues. So there's another one for you to watch. You got the stock Coinbase. You've got the little players, Marathon Digital and others. You've got Ethereum. You've got, or Ether, you've got Bitcoin, and of course you have the one Dogecoin. Let's not forget Dogecoin. Speaking of coin, Kathy Woods now has the significance of Kathy Woods' latest purchase of coin. She now holds nearly $750 million in total value in coin. Versus all the other, she has more invested in this stock than all of the other ETFs combined. How big is that discrepancy? Well, if you look at all the other ETFs out there, they own a total of 100 million in Coinbase. C-O-I-N. In comparison, Kathy Woods alone and her ARK funds own $750 million. That's almost eight times more than all of the other ETFs combined. What do you think of coin? Are you a buyer? Well, the chart is settled in at about $300 per share. The PE is 183. The market cap is $60 billion. Let me run that price-to-sales ratio by you once again. Oh, man, what happened there? I guess I thought it was in my app. I think it is. Well, I know the price-to-sales ratio is like, it's bananas. It is way out there. So, hey, everybody's different. She likes coin, and she's put her money where her mouth is, $750 million, which is more than all the ETFs combined. They only have $100 million. Well, here's a chart that's firming up, but I don't know. This electric vehicle space remains very frigid. NIO deliveries rise 120% from last year, down 2% from the March tally. I'm just looking at a chart of NIO stock. The best I can say is it's firmed up and it's going sideways. And I look at some of the others, former leaders like NIU, same way. Going sideways. I look at Li Auto, LI. That's not a good chart at all, but it is going sideways. It's better than going down. And I look at Boyd, BYDDF. That's not a good chart at all. So it's just a dead sector. You're beating a dead horse right now. All right, the chip sector continues to cool off. Did you see Cirrus Logic on Friday? Cirrus Logic was down 16%. Why is that an important bellwether stock? Because they're one of Apple's main suppliers. And you've seen Apple stock really cool off. They had a pretty good earnings report. But since then, the stock has quieted down. Apple's picking up a little steam here today. But all of these Apple suppliers were trading down on Friday after Cirrus Logic reported results, and then they forecast downside due to supply constraints. And you also had Skyworks, which is another major Apple supplier. They reported a very narrow fiscal quarter two beat. So Oppenheimer says it still looks good for the long term for Cirrus Logic and Apple and all, but that definitely was a warning shot fired across the bow. What happened to Twitter on Friday? If you don't like Jack Dorsey, you're probably happy here. Twitter stock was down 13%. Well, they lost their biggest user, didn't they? President Trump. Twitter stock looks terrible. That's a horrible chart. Ugh, Let's go to the next one. Down 13% on Friday. Okay, Peloton, they've come up with a new feature. You can pause button. They have a pause button. In the middle of your workout, you can push pause and listen to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now show, and then resume your workout after the pause. We'll be right back with a couple of featured stocks of the day. How about that? I'm feeling benevolent on this first trading day of May. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, it is May. I'm supposed to go away, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here till September. Then I might get out. September and October, really good fish. If you want to go fishing in Charleston, oh, my gosh, October, November, whoo. The redfish, they pile up. I sat in one little hole just up the river from my home here. I caught a 25 to 30-inch redfish on every cast. I mean, I just kind of went all until the tide changes, and it was a fun. And I've been in that same hole before full of big, giant 21-inch trout. It's a lot of fun on your lunch break. Well, let's do a featured stock of the day. I've talked a lot about the building sector. There's not a whole lot of home building stocks out there. You know, some people might be better to, you can look at, there's home building ETFs. XHB is one. Nail is another one. And then, of course, you've got the suppliers to the home builders. But there's a shortage of homes. I mean, everybody I talk to, I don't care where they're from or what part of the country they're talking about, there's a shortage of homes. There's very little in inventory. And the new home builders behind the times, I'm sure COVID slowed everything down. And now all this demand's come back, and holy cow, they can't get enough lumber. Well, anyways, we're going to go to one of the hot areas of the country. How about Dallas and Atlanta? Those are hot areas for me. You know, I have a lot of followers. We're looking for radio show stations right now. The process of doing that. I want to get back on radio in Dallas, and I want to get back on radio in Atlanta, where I was for many years. Both those stations were sold out from under me, and there's nothing I can do. Okay, so we're gonna step up the pace. If anybody knows of a radio station in Atlanta or in Texas that kind of has a format, you know, all news talk or whatever, let me know. Okay, well, we're going to go to Green Brick Partners out of Plano, Texas, which is booming. They just recently acquired 5 communities in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex for over 2,000 homes. The symbol on this stock is GRBK. All right. Now, I want to warn you, this is a micro cap. This isn't Toll Brothers. This is not, one of the big D.R. Horton. This is a smaller regional builder. And, the building industry is full of risk. There's cycles. There's massive cycles. Any home builder would know this. We saw huge cycles during my years in San Diego where there was huge booms and then there was not any land to build on and big bust. And then there was the savings and loan crisis in the 90s that hurt big time. So it's been all over the map. And then, of course, in 08, 09, you had the big, huge hit to home prices. So it's very much a cyclical industry, but right now it's riding pretty high, and it looks like it will for quite some time here. GBRK is a $1.3 billion market cap company, and as I look it up in the beststocksnowapp.com, which is where I found it, It helps me. The app helps me keep tabs on over almost 6,000 stocks out there. GRBK is currently trading at some very low multiples. In fact, its forward PE right now is about 8. And that compares to a market which is 13 or so, or 23 or so. The forward PE, or the growth rate on Green Brick Partners, is 20% per year. So trading at a 13 forward PE multiple, that's the numerator, stacked up against a 20% growth rate, that's the denominator, and you get a very low PEG ratio of under 1. And the company's earnings have been growing by 25% per year over the last 5 years. Okay, that hasn't been happening at the electric vehicle stocks, except for one. Listen to their most recent quarter. Their earnings were up 87% year over year. The previous quarter, their earnings were up 119%. And the quarter before that, they were up 128%. And yet this is a classic value stock with a P.E. ratio of 12, a low price-to-sales ratio, and a low PEG ratio. And you know what? In this market, I'm not making many exceptions. I'm just not going very far outside of that circle with those low forward P.E.s, low price-to-sales. It's the winning combination right now. It's not a get-rich-quick, but it's better than anything else you're going to do in the market right now. I can tell you that, unless you want to mess around with Dogecoin and the like. You know what? We put a lot of work into that newsletter. We sent it out. We got a new system. I like it. It gives me a little more breathing room. We get it out to people now Friday, late Friday afternoon, so you have it to peruse all weekend. And I did a major update to the macro outlook on the market, which is based mainly on earnings expectations going forward. And, of course, a fiscal policy change, otherwise known as a big tax hike, would take a bite out of those S&P 500 earnings. So you got to run a couple of scenarios there on the macro picture. I updated all my portfolios again this week. You can see where I'm positioned. You can look at, you know, last year at this time, it's a totally different picture from this year this time. There's a lot less technology stocks in my portfolios this year, and I'm in sectors that I have not been in for literally years and years. But that's what's working on the market. As a guy who's on the water every day, up to my neck, up to my eyeballs, rain or shine, those are my very clear observations. You know, every day I write down the areas of the market that are working, and you just see this cluster in about five or six sectors right now. And if you venture outside those sectors, you're going to have very little luck. The probabilities are greatly stacked against you. Well, you know what? I got a whole team behind me. I'm going to be starting to introduce my co-workers at Southport Capital real soon. We'll have them on the air with us. And you need to call us. Let us evaluate your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.